to try to get together on Sunday mornings to learn something in the Sefer HaChinuch, get some concept of the enumeration of Taryag Mitzvahs that are incumbent upon all of Klal Yisrael. Each mitzvah, the Chinuch gives us a time in the mitzvah. We've already had occasion to point out that we look upon Taimei HaMitzvahs not in the sense of reasons, because reasons are beyond human intelligence. It's not for us to fathom why Hashem Yisborach has decided to command Klal Yisrael to perform this and this mitzvah, or to abstain from certain things. But many times it is for us, within our capacity, to grasp some taste of the mitzvah, and it brings it closer to us. The mitzvah becomes closer to us when we do taste of it, of its value, what it contains within it, even according to our intelligence. But always with that limitation, to realize that all that we perhaps feel in a mitzvah, yet the mitzvah itself is far above and beyond what we feel in it. Then it's mitzvah Hashem. It would be similar to a father giving a mitzvah to his son, to his young child. The reason that the father has cannot always be fathomed by a youngster 6-7 years old. And yet the father attempts to give it to him in such manner that even his understanding will get some kind of an appreciation for doing this act. So it really is not the reason for the mitzvah. But yet the son appreciates the fact that his father asks him to perform this and this deed. That's our concept of Taimei HaMitzvahs. And the Chinuch, the author of the Chinuch, we don't know who he was. We all know who he was, one of the Rishonim. And it's become a classic down through the ages, not only as far as Taimei HaMitzvahs is concerned, but even as far as the Halacha is concerned. We will not interest ourselves in the Halachic viewpoints. We will be interested only in the viewpoint of Taimei HaMitzvah. He has become a classic because he places the Taimei HaMitzvah on the level of human understanding without too much depth in philosophic thought. And that's the value of the Sefer HaChinuch. Not to have to go off on tangents of Jewish philosophy. It isn't the Rambam's Meire, it isn't Rav Sadia Gaon's Emunas Vedeyas. It's a father talking to a child. Please do this because look how wonderful it is. And in the letter, the Geres HaMechaber, that precedes even the introduction, he speaks to his son in these terms, and he points out to him that the purpose of the work is that when Kriya is performed Shabbos in Shul, let not the kids wander around playing. Let them listen to Kriyas HaTorah because there's something interesting in it. That's the whole purpose of the Chinuch. I don't want to think that we are all just small children running around in a shul, but when you begin to learn the Sefer HaChinuch and you gain an appreciation for what he tells us in a mitzvah, so we begin to see that we are all B'nai Keil Choy. We are the children of a living God. That we certainly are. And in his Besmedrash, instead of running around haphazardly, it pays to try to get some kind of appreciation of what's our Father in Heaven asking of us. We're going to learn something of the Hakdome, the introduction of the Chinuch. Because here also there are many beautiful things in Emune, the basic fundamentals of faith. The two sources of the Chinuch in all his work throughout the entire Sefer are always the Rambam and the Ramban. Primarily it's the Rambam. He goes according to the Rambam's enumeration of mitzvahs and according to the Rambam's approach to the halacha involved in each mitzvah. Sometimes he mentions the Ramban also, where the Ramban is not in agreement with the Rambam. But primarily it's built upon the Rambam. The beginning of the Akdome deals with a fundamental that the Ramban mentions in Parshas Vo'estanam, the basic fundamental of faith, and that is that something can be perhaps distorted as a story, as a myth, but something that's handed down from generation to generation as having come from 600,000 Jews who said that they not merely heard, but they saw. It's far removed from being able to say that this is a myth, to have parents hand down to children something that didn't exist and say that they saw and heard. It is for that reason that Hashem Yisborach raised all of Klal Yisrael to a level of prophecy. At the time of Matan Torah and Maimed Har Sinai, all of Israel was raised to a level of prophecy to be able to hear the voice of God and to see that which was revealed on Mount Sinai at that time. The purpose was so that the gam bechor yaminu le'olam, so that forevermore, down through the ages, Klal Yisrael would believe in Torah's Moshe, because it would be a Torah that is handed down from generation to generation, starting with the Klal Yisrael of Shishim Riboy, who testified to the children of the newborn generation, "My child, I saw and I heard." And so many saw and heard. In that manner, it becomes a matter of belief, because it's if I myself had seen it. My own father would under no circumstances, into such great numbers, testify and say something that is a total lie, a total falsehood. This is the basis of emune in Matan Torah. And that's what he starts off with, this Bechor Yaminu Le'olam. From there he proceeds to tell us also another fundamental in faith. After all, in his day, and certainly in our day, our day is a product of so-called academic freedom, of what secular culture did not only to all of the world, but to Klal Yisrael also. It created an approach that what I know and what I understand, that is. What I do not know, what I do not understand, is not. That's the basis of secular culture, of academic learning. Schopenhauer said it, and others said it. And this became the basis of modern thought. What is within the realm of human understanding, that exists. What is beyond understanding is non-existent. If I can't understand it, it's not there. It's not. So the Chinuch points out that if you should so approach things, then there are a lot of things that you see before you, but they shouldn't be there, because we don't understand it. We have no, it's beyond the limitations of human understanding. We don't fathom these things. And he mentions among them various things that are beyond Chachmei HaTeva, beyond science. Who, after all, he says, and even in our day this is so, understands the nature of the process of growth in a blade of grass? It's a very simple thing, a blade of grass. Nothing extraordinary about a blade of grass. But yet we have yet to find in all of science something to explain to us what indeed is the process of growth. Science tells us what it is, why it is, what's the ultimate cause. That's beyond science. Science doesn't know, but yet there must be a cause for it. There must be a why also. Shgulas HaTzabi. What is the power of magnetism? What is the magnet? What's the power of magnetism? That there is such a thing. What it is, we know. Why? What is its ultimate cause? That we do not know. And he mentions a few other things. Today we know many more things in the world of science. We know something about atomic science. We know something about nuclear science. We've already gone to the moon, and we've had a television that showed us man on the moon. It's a gewaltige Sache, science. But there's so much in this science that we do not understand. All we do is we use what we're able to take out of this wonderful world, this cosmos that Hashem Yisborach created. And in our age, we're living in an age where the Tare de Chochmese, the gates of this world of knowledge, are opening up before mankind. But to delve into the depths of it and to understand its source, why are these things so, that's beyond science. And now science tells us we're not interested in that. We see what it is, and we'd like to bring these things together in order to make practical use of it. So there's so much in this physical world that we do not understand, that is beyond human understanding. So why, says the Chinuch, should man be so foolish to say that in the realm of the spiritual, that which he cannot fathom does not exist? Shouldn't the physical world, he argues, be enough proof to man that you live in a world which is far beyond the limitations of human understanding? And it's for you to accept this world that Hashem Yisborach has given to you and to try to live within it in such manner that you reach to the best of your ability that which is the ultimate and prime purpose of man. And the prime purpose of man in this world is Lasis Ritzayim Boyri, to perform the will of Hashem Yisborach, to place within the depths of the human soul this belief, as our forefathers have handed it down to us, this faith, and to understand that the purpose of it is not to punish man, but rather to bring him the ultimate in good, the ultimate in happiness. And to live in such manner, that would be the finest thing that we could possibly hope for. Among the things that he tells us here is, we must believe ki avah chochmes, the father of all wisdom, Adon Kol, the master of all, Kol asher oso, all that he created. And there are so many things in creation and the cosmos and the universe that we don't seemingly see a purpose for. All that he created, L'tzeirech oso, he certainly made it for a purpose. There is nothing levatol. U'le'inyan mechuyev, and he made it for a purpose that must be. The world could not be without it, whether we understand it or we do not. Today in the world of science, there are so many things that 20 years ago and even 10 years ago, we didn't understand why is it necessary. And today we're beginning to see that there is a necessity for it. There is a purpose to it. So if this is so, aren't there many more things that certainly have purpose and we don't understand them? If for over 5,000 years we couldn't understand why the things that we're beginning to understand now are here, so couldn't there be so many more things that we don't know their purpose even today? Nevertheless, it's given to us to find some appreciation in all the things that are beyond human understanding. V'loima, ki yediyas b'nei odom darkei Hashem muchuyeves l'malosi yisalem. Part of the godless of Hashem Yisborach is that men appreciate and recognize his presence, his being. She'achar she'olo b'machshova refono livreis oilom. Since it was his wish and desire to create a world, Whatever God creates has to be perfect in essence. Ki hasholei, because he who is perfect, kol maas of shleimus, all that emanates from him is of necessity also perfect. There can be no imperfections from him who is perfect. V'chein hu oemes, and this is the basis of truth. Shehu baruch hu hishlimei bakoil, he made a world which is perfect. Ki lechoser memenu dovor, nothing is missing. She odom yochol loymar olov, that man should be able to say, loma loyosa be'loma kein. Why did he not create such and such? Everything is here. Ki hine boro be'lome, he created a spiritual world, scholem nibdovim ve'im ha'malochim, world of angels. And he also created in this world, scholem beguf kayom, spirituality covered by a material world. Uboro be'oretz, and he also created upon earth Brius Gufnius, bodies, Belisekel cloud, without any intelligence whatsoever. Behema behemis veheufeis ushara meaning kayetzibok. Beasts, fowl. But he also created in this world, on the earth upon which we live, he created here Brius Gufnius Besekel, also bodies, but possessed with seichel, with the spiritual. Vehu min ho'odom. That's the humankind. He created angels on high, even though the astronauts and the cosmonauts of Russia said they didn't find them when they went up there. That doesn't attest to wisdom, that attests to foolishness. A sheite goes up in a rocket and says he didn't find angels, so that proves that there are no angels. You have to be pretty dumb to talk that way. And here you see a scientist. They're all scientists, atomic scientists. He created the Mino Odom here in this world that is in a sense greater than the angels of the other world. Here he created man who is possessed of a material body, of material needs, and at the same time possesses a soul, a chelek eloika mimal, that invests him with all the spiritual of the world of the malochim. And the Novi says of man, nosati locho machalchi bein ha'oindim ha'ele. In the world of the angels, they are oindim, they're static. Each angel has its static purpose to perform. Man moves, he's never static. He's a mahalif. He's been blessed with this power of spirituality to take this body, this material body of his, and do with it what he wants. He's never in one situation. He's always changing. This is something peculiar to man alone. So in a sense, he's greater than the angels. Humino odo, lohidia, thereby to have us know, there is nothing that Hashem Yisborach cannot do. Even though material things, and seichel, spiritual things, are total contrasts, nevertheless, he was able to mix them together in harmony. You can mix a lot of things together, but Lord knows what comes of it. But to mix it into harmony, into a harmonious whole, and created thereby man. The seichel nivdol of the malach, the guf chaymer of this world, put them together in harmonious balance and create of that man. This is the priyas ha'odom. If all of us would realize what we are, we'd have a greater appreciation of ourselves. And we wouldn't be hippies and wouldn't be many other things. But we don't ourselves realize and appreciate how beautiful is this creature called man. What a great thing is this creature called man. How did God in man reveal greatness that he did not reveal in the world of Malachim, the world of angels. Only man represents something which is so beyond us in understanding, and yet we are it. We are the humans. And what are we? A combination, a harmony between Olam HaMalochim and Olam HaDoinim here in this world. This is man. And to this man was given a Torah. Nimtza lefi dvareinu shenesinas haTorah, the Torah was given lahaskil libois b'nei Odom muhuyeves letashlum hayetziris, in order to endow man with that spiritual seichel which is necessary for the full completion of the perfection of creation. V'im yishaloi, if man should ask, achash yitashlum hayetziris, if this is so, if this is Torah, why was Torah given only to us, to Klal Yisrael, and not to all nations of the world? We could answer simply, we don't understand God's wisdom. So it's not for us to understand why. And this would be true, and this would be logical, so to answer. Nevertheless, avo mikomakim gamlo se efshalim tzebektsas tam nefimin hogisheloyim. We can find a logical approach even in accordance with human understanding. Halo yodua ki bechol divrei ha'olam ashofel. We know that in this small world of ours, psoles meruba bayala iker, there are things which are iker, and there are things which are psoles that fall by the wayside. And the psoilis is much more than Ika. Everything that grows, wheat, you have a lot of psoilis in wheat. The wheat itself that's good for nourishment is a very, very small portion of it. His wisdom has seen fit so to create this world of ours. The world before Chet, before the Chet of Adam HaRishon, wasn't that way. It was all Ika. But Chet covers Ika with a lot of psoilis. You have to have Chayitzah, and you have to have Etzev. You have to work hard to take out the Iker from the Psoilus. And this is the world in which we live. Gam be'Iker chelek mimenu, therefore in the Iker itself, nifchar boi min hakol. In that itself there is also something which is the best of it all. Ki'ilu toima, roif karkoi sheba'olom, most of the karka of earth in the world, einom idis, are not the best for planting, for everything else. Elamiyutum, just a small portion, this is a fact. Vigambe idis, and even in the good portions, chelek mimenu is ide idis, the best of the best. Chena dova gambe peiris oilem, in all fruit, vimina behemis ve'oifis. Vim kein, so it's simple to understand, gambe mino enushi, humankind, nie adover kein, vedamoise le mino oilem ashofen. So he must also be created in that manner. There must be psoilus, there must be idis, and there must be idis. Valkein nifchal mimin ho'odom chelek echod v'hu Yisroel v'hu ame'at mikol ha'amim. That's what the Pasuk says. We are the smallest in number of all peoples of the earth. Uvoruch Hashem sheyedea, he is the one that knows. That's the idis of humankind, the children of Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov. Uvochrom, and he chose them, liyisnikroim amay, that they should be called his people. V'nosan lahem kolikore achochmo, this spiritual wisdom. Nevertheless, gam lechol shal mino odom nosan derech la'avdila min abhemes. All other humankind is not like the beasts of the earth. They're also separated. They also have a spiritual value. What is this spiritual value? Heim sheven mitzvahs. These are the seven Noahide laws. the seven mitzvahs that were given to Bnei Noach, to mankind in general, that's what determines the fact that man is not a beast. A beast carries no mitzvah. He lives by instinct. There's no such thing as a tzivu. You're not mitzvah a beast. You can't give commandments to a horse, to a donkey, to a cat. You can't do that. They have no intelligence for that. You can train them, so again it becomes instinctive. But to live by a commandment, one must be a baal seichel. And so you have to give commandments, thereby to create and to bring to fruition this power of man. So mankind in general must have commandments. The one who created them must bless them with commandments. And the commandments were seen fit by him to be Sheve Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. This takes mankind and makes them worthy of performing the will of Hashem Yisborach. These are the Sheve Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And as we will mention, every time we mention a mitzvah of these seven mitzvahs, we will always, he says, point this out, that you should be acquainted with the fact that this is a mitzvah not merely for Klal Yisroel, but it involves all of mankind. I once had occasion to travel with a fellow to Boston, and he saw that I had a beard, so he sat down next to me. And he explains to me that he's a professor in some place in Michigan in a Seventh-day Adventist college. So I thought he was a goy. I saw that he was a foreigner from his accent. And as we got to talking, he tells me that his mother was Jewish in Germany. So I said, so you're a Jew? He says, I've heard that. The Jews think that I'm a Jew because my mother was Jewish. So I said, but I want you to know it's more than thinking. Because you are a Jew, whether you like it or not, you're going to have to pay for every time that you don't perform Talyag Mitzvahs. But you go back to your Seventh-day Adventist college and tell them that they're all obligated to seven mitzvahs. Seven mitzvahs, he said, what's that mean? So I told him, seven mitzvahs ben ineach. He said, what's that mean? So I told him what the seven mitzvahs ben ineach are. Then he asks me, are you interested in conversion, in converting non-Jews? I said, no, definitely not. We're not interested in that. We feel that the non-Jew has seven mitzvahs. It's enough to take care of him. What does he have to look for new source? He doesn't have to have it. Let him be a good goy. So he started to ask, why, what, when? So I said, why should you ask me why? Look at the difference between us and between the non-Jewish world. Do you in the Seventh-day Adventist school teach your goyim to appreciate the fact that Jews have Taryag Mitzvahs? Do you ever talk about it? Certainly not. Do you realize that in our yeshivas, the schools of Torah learning, we teach our student body Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei? What are we into Sheva Mitzvahs? What's our business? Let the goy worry about himself. No. We have another approach. We Jews are worried about the welfare of mankind. So we teach our students that there's such a thing as Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Ineach and how the goy is obligated to observe these Sheva Mitzvahs. So we think of the goy also. We feel that he's also part of creation. He's part of the overall world interest of the Jew in performing the will of Hashem Yisborach. And we feel, therefore, that this is sufficient. Let him do his job, and everything will be properly taken care of. And I made him promise me that when he comes back to school in Michigan, he will tell them what the seven mitzvahs are, but he wouldn't promise me that he'll observe Taryag mitzvahs, even though his mother was Jewish. I told him, he'll have to pay for every aveda that he does, and he was going to Boston, this was on a Thursday, to be Mechalel Shabbos at a conference. So I told him, don't go to the conference on Shabbos, you're going to have to pay for it. It says in the Torah, Mechalaleo Meish Yumos, and it's your Torah because your mother was Jewish. It's beyond me. Of Adosidus. That's why we mention Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Ineach when we study Taryag Mitzvahs of Klal Yisroel. It's part of the overall picture of mankind, how Hashem Yisborach created man as Bifkara Yitzirah.
How is the boy to know about this if he doesn't?
Huh?
How is the boy to find out about this?
He should learn. That's why I told him to go back to the Seventh-day Adventist College. And he should learn it. He should learn it. And not only he should learn it, Chazal say that Akum, for Isaac Betera, the non-Jew who studies his Sheven Mitzvahs, but studies them properly, is greater than a king Gogol Am Ha'oretz. You're a trait. Because he's performing his duty and performing it properly. If he doesn't perform it, he doesn't live by those duties, and he's not interested in finding out what it's all about, it's pretty bad, pretty bad. Now, so we spoke about mankind, and within mankind, the Mama Nifchari says there is Ide Yiddish. Just as there is in Karke, there's Ide Yiddish. Who's the Ide Yiddish of Klal Yisrael? Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi is the Ide Yiddish. They have been chosen from all of Klal Yisrael to be totally devoted only to matters of the spirit, so to speak. And the Rambam says at the end of Hilcha Shmita Be'Yevul that upon Shevet Levi, it's a chiyuv, it's incumbent upon them that they be Levi. But everyone in Klal Yisroel, Shenedove Ruche, has the ability out of Nedivas Ruach Velev to become a Levi if he wishes. If you feel that you can rise to the state where you're able to forget material interests and to take of life the most minimum of all and to devote your life totally to the interests of Hashem Yisborach as the Levi does, Tovo Alecha Brocho. And that, he says, was David HaMelech. David HaMelech, king of Israel, was in a sense a Levi. All of men feel that they make a living for themselves. They take care of themselves. David HaMelech said it isn't so. I'm completely in the hands of Hashem Yisborach. I'm a pawn upon the chessboard of the universe. That's the way he felt. And we keep talking about making a living. We don't make a living. Hashem Yisborach makes our living. Ours is to make mitzvahs, to perform mitzvahs. And if we perform mitzvahs, Hashem Yisborach, he makes the living. The Welt erzählt am Meise. The Chaim Brisker once went to Varshe for a Klal Yisroel union to collect funds. And he went into one of his former Talmidim in Valozhin. A guter Talmid, he had become a rich man, a rich businessman. And he said to him, Yankel, was tust du? And he said, ich mag riesige Geschäften, ich mag a sache Geld. So he asked him again, aber Yankel, sag mir, was tust du? But the Rebbe had gesagt, and he repeats to him. So he says a third time, ich frag der Yankel, was tust du? Again he repeated the same thing. Rebbe, ich weiß nicht, what the Rebbe will. Ich soll da dem Rebbe, was ich tue. I'm telling you what I'm doing. Oi, sagt er, nein. Du hast mir den Engel sagen, wo der Rebbe ins Leben tut. Ich will doch aber wissen, was du tust. Sagt er, was meint der Rebbe? Wie hieß die Mitzvahs? Wie viel Teire lernst du jeden Tag? Wie viel Chesed tust du jeden Tag? Wie viel hieß du sich verloschen Hore? Und er hat ihm ausgerechnet, ein Zettel. Und in Geschäften des Teist hieß du die Dienen von der Neue, von Knäbe, von Zähle. Das darfst du tun. Frage ich dir, was tust du? Und du hast mir den Einsogen, was tut er? There's the difference in approach. We make the mistake of always saying we're doing God's work. And we'd like him to do our work. It has to be the opposite way around. We should be doing our work and let him take good care of his work. And we can rely on him. He'll always do his job. That we should do ours. So this is Shevet Levi. Now he says there's another important element here. Earth itself. There's one portion of earth that's perfected beyond all other portions. What is that portion? The Yoda Hashem, and he alone knows earth. He's the one that created it. He knows what is the best portion, what is not. Yoda Hashem ki amifka shebo hu Eretz Yisrael. That portion, that's the mifka, the best of all. V'hoyu yetzeinei lehoishibo mifka min ha'odom. And you put one and one together, so you get two. If this is the best portion upon earth, and Klal Yisroel is the Ama Nifchar in humankind, so the Ama Nifchar belongs in Eretz HaNifcheres. So you have to put them in Eretz Yisroel. It's something automatic. Gam Be'ose Nifchar Oretz HaTov Sheba Yerushalayim. There is good within good. So Yerushalayim is the Mokam HaNifchar of all of Eretz Yisroel. V'alkei Nifchar Olias Mishkan HaTeiro. Therefore, Yerushalayim is the Mishkan HaTeiro. Umokam HaAveda, and also the place where we serve Hashem Yisborach in the Avedas HaMikdash. Umemeno Yisborech Kol Kadur Oretz. And all the universe is blessed through Eretz Yisroel. Now these are important fundamentals in Emunah. You must remember these things. Yerushalayim is Mishkan HaTeiro. The Beis HaMikdash, which we always are under the impression of thinking is the center and the central focal point of Avodah, Korbonis. We overlook the fact that in the Beis HaMikdash was the Lishkas HaGozis where the Sanhedrin sat. The Sanhedrin is the central focal point of Torah, was in the Mikdash. And the Rambam points out, it is not the Sanhedrin that enjoys the influence of the Avodah, it's the opposite way around. The Avodah is there because there is the place of Torah. And the Avodah emanates. The Avodah of a Jew, of a Ben Yisroel, emanates from Torah Hashem. To the extent that we attach ourselves to Torah, to the study of Torah, represented by Sanhedrin HaGdolah, the supreme authority in Torah, to that extent is our Aveide pure and devoted to Hashem Yisborach, cleansed of personal interests. Remove Torah from the world of the Jew, and Aveide becomes religion. And I needn't tell you what religion is. All the cults of the Mishigoyim today, that's all religion. Look what it looks like. Ours is not religion. Avedas Hashem is not religion. Avedas Hashem is service of Hashem Yisborach. To realize that all emanates from Him. All is His. If I want to have something, it must come from Him. If I sin, I'm sinning against Him. And I'm unworthy of His chesed. Therefore, I have to bring a korban kaporo. I have to bring a korban doyim. I bring a gift to Hashem Yisborach. I pray to Him because He's the central focal point in my life. How do I feel that way? How does a Jew rise to such a state? From Chayi Olam of Torah. Chayi Olam Nota B'Shecheinu. He has implanted within us this Chayi Olam through Matan Torah. And there where you have to serve Hashem Yisborach, in the highest and purest state, that's only possible because there you have Lishkas HaGozis. And from the day that Sanhedrin Golsom Lishkas HaGozis, 40 years before the Churban, all of Aveide lost a great deal of its beauty and sanctity and value. And 40 years later, there was no Aveide left either. It begins with a Golos of Torah. Because if there is such a thing as Aveda, as Migdish, as Avedas HaMigdash, it's because that's the central focal point of Limud HaTorah. This the Rambam points out in Parashat Terumah. And it's a Rambam that every Jew should study and study carefully and gain a new approach to what Avedas HaKorbanos means. What does Tefillah mean? When is Tefillah of value? And then you begin to understand. You have a broche in tefillah of chaninim itcha deo bino. You have a broche in tefillah of ashivinu avinu l'serasecho. You speak about Torah, Torah, the first broches. Then you go on to your personal needs. You get an appreciation of what Torah and mitzvahs ha-Torah mean. And then you can understand what is tefillah, what is aveide, what is service, what is divine service. Therefore, it was chosen, Yerushalayim, to be Mishkan HaTorah u'mekoyim HaAveda. And from there goes forth a blessing to the entire earth. Kishom Sivo Hashem es HaBrochot. So another fundamental that we have to be conscious of. Even in Golis, when Eretz Yisroel and Yerushalayim are not a Mishkan Hashchina, whatever we enjoy, wherever we may be, the source of it all is through Eretz Yisroel, through Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh. And that's why when we pray, for instance, for rain, we pray for it when it's necessary in Eretz Yisroel, not when we need it here. If there's a special need for it here, we pray for it in Shema Kolein. But the brocha, the same Talumoto, Livrocho, depends on Eretz Yisroel. Because at all times, the Mekoyim HaBrocha, the Mekoyer HaBrocha, through which all of divine blessing comes to us wherever we may be, goes through Eretz Yisroel. We may not see it, we may not recognize it, we're unworthy of it, but this is the fact of things. Eretz Yisroel today is also, if there is Torah in Golas, it's because it goes through Eretz Yisroel, unknown to us. If there is Aveda in Golas, it goes through Eretz Yisroel, even though it's unknown to us. That's the Mishkan of all. And there's an interesting medrash in Pirkei, the Blessed Revelation of Yisa Aglili. Not Pirkei the Rablezer, Pirkei the Blessed Revelation of Yisa Aglili. A beautiful medrash. Why indeed do we pray for rain when you need it in Eretz Yisroel, not when you need it here? So the medrash says, because if you'll pray for it when you need it here, a Jew will begin thinking that this is home. This is where he belongs. Golas is his home. Lest a Jew forget that his home is Eretz Yisroel, he has to pray in terms of Eretz Yisroel, regardless of where he may find himself. That's the Mekoyer HaBroche at all times. Sometimes it's begol when we're zeche to it. Achshav shalei zechinu, so it's behester upon him. But this is broche. This year is Shnas HaShmita. It's one of the most gratifying things for us to realize that this year, to date, there are 1,300 Ikarim in Eretz Yisroel who are observing Shmita 100% Kedas HaKedim and are not accepting any Heteirim. And among them are a great many Moshavim and Kibbutzim of Apeyala Mizrochi. It's a very interesting thing this year. Those who previously, in previous Shmitas, relied upon the Heta of the Rabbonus HaRoshis decided this year no more, because the Rov HaRav Kook Zichrono Livroche, who also had a Heter in his day, they said that according to present day conditions, that Heter is no longer necessary. And where the Heter is not necessary, Hot Rav Kook Gewolt Mezol Hiten Shmite, Nit Mezol Hiten Heter. So we have this year 1,300 Ikorim who are observing Shmite. It's an unusual thing.
What are Ikorim?
Farmers. An unusual thing. They need money, though. I'm taking occasion to mention this. You have to help them. It's not easy for a farmer to live in Eretz Yisroel in the Shemitah year if he observes Shemitah properly. They need help. And everyone who can possibly do anything for the Kerna Shemitah in Eretz Yisroel will be performing a mitzvah beyond words, because upon the performance of the mitzvah of Shemitah, the Torah HaKadosh says, "Mitzvisis HaBrocha." You will live to see Brocha. And I can tell you in reference to that also a very interesting thing. We had some young men living in Kiryat Elstone who went out to Komuniyut, which is one of the Moshavim that observed Shemitah, in the past Shemitahs also. They went out there to bake their matzah, Pesach, matzah. So they went there as Chedesh Nisim Bak Matzah. So they came back home and they told me a very interesting thing. It was raining, pouring in Kemenius. And all the Meshavim around Kemenius, who happened to be not Frumet Meshavim, not one. The only Frumet is Kemenius. There it was dry as a stick. Den Truppen wäre stecken gewesen. Also nicht ganz kein Tropfenwasser. Und ihn kennen wir es. Ganz genau bis in Grenz, Amish. Von der Regen gegossen, aber sie gewinnen am Aselbrock. Because you need that for to have payers to be able to live on from the 6th year and the 7th year. Hat man gesehen, ein mega dicke Aselbrock hat man gesehen in der. The same thing happened in the previous two Schmittes. All those places that observed Schmitte, and this year the same thing, all those who have decided once and for all, Schmitte, Schmitte, haben gesehen, nicht, ist sie direkt gegossen, was sie. Next door to them. Then keep that thing. Kein Kalitäne sagt sie, wie sie es abbroche, wie das amit sie ist, like we've been learning here. It's a fact. It's not a myth. It's a fact. And those who observe, reap the fruits of this fact. So the Rebister Health Numbers on Allah Zeker sein to be able to reap the fruits of observing what Taylor tells us to observe. And if someone should ask again, oh, this is a terrific question. They are the best in the world, and no one has as much tzoras as Klal Yisrael. So these are two contrasts. How is it possible? So an old shaylin. Tzadik v'ralik. Rosho v'toifle. This has bothered the minds of philosophers down through the ages. We'll see this for our mice. Hatshuvo, so he gives us an answer. Yodua bedovor mefursam ben bnei oilom. Ki adoin akoy boro bezelom. Hashem Yisborah created, so to speak, two worlds. Oilom agufo is ve'oilom aneshomis. This world, this material world, and also a world of the spirit. Oilom aneshomis. Ve'oilom agufo is ki efes ve'toyu nechshav ki neged oilom aneshomis. This world, the material world, comparison to the world of neshomis, to the spiritual world, is as nothing. This is a shadow that passes. This exists forever. Since the soul, that's the ikar of man, this remains forever. The goof is merely a vehicle to the soul. The soul is the ikar, and the goof carries this ikar. Mishamish Eleos Man Muat serves as a keli, as a vehicle, a short while, 70 years, in Bigvurish Menim Shono, in the eternity of Hashem Yisborach, what is 70 years, what is 80 years, what is 120 years, and what is 930 years, Sigonit Shibigonit and Dreimal Gomit. Mifsa Danelach, Hinchel Hashem Leame Ulam Anishomis. Your world is the world of the spirit. And to the pleasures of spirituality, there is no limit. Give him a double portion. You give him a good portion. And the Rabbi once said, "Sagmor in Herius, other tzaddiki mishonuru trealme." Well, see, they hate two worlds. If they'll have it easy here, so they couldn't stand it, they couldn't live through it. Hatshuva ki yedua lechol bal seichel shei efshela bal chaima leolam edlishiyach. Everyone understands that as long as we are contained in this vehicle called goof. Something that the Chofetz Chaim Zecheinu Livrocha had a wonderful term for. He used to call the goof the flesh in the kapote. The kapote made of flesh and blood. The flesh in the kapote. What is man? Man is an shone. The kapote kalei der goof. Sometimes he wears it for 70 years. Sometimes Achmona Latzani wears it for less. And sometimes he wears it for more. But this is a keli the goof, nothing more. And as long as you wear this keli, it's impossible not to transgress more or less. Turkin Havil, who sign a tzaddik, is a dealer without any transgression whatsoever. There were only four, Chazal tell us, who died only because of Ekye Shel Nochash, not because of any personal remission. Umimides Ha'ele Baruch Hu, Shekol, who Umimides Ha'ele Baruch Hu, Hakvuis, among the Midas Hashem that are Kavua, that are stationed forever, Adiyah, he Midas Hadin. One of his Midas is Midas Hadin. He judges a world at all times through judgment. Not Rachmin, but Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin means Melech B'mishpot Yamit Eretz. You can't run a world, Malchusedar also, you can't run a world without law. It's Midas Hadin. So also, Hashem Yisborach runs his world with law, Midas Hadin. Melech B'mishpot Yamit Eretz. That you must go in accordance with Seichel. You must live in that manner. And when you transgress, please, so you have to pay for it. Since Midas Hadin says, every crime, every moving away from the right path must bring, as a result, a Midas Hadin. Al kein, mechazde Hashem oleinu, som chelkeinu letzaref achet memenem oylam hazeh. He would rather have us pay for crime and sin in this small world of least value, so that when we arrive in the other world, we shouldn't have to pay for it there. So when you look at it, he says, from that angle, so every tzora that you suffer here is not din, it's rachmin. The father who smites his son as a punishment for having done something that's wrong, that's rachmin, that's not midas hadin. Had he not had this midas hadin, the child would grow wild. What would the result be? That as he grows up, he would suffer without limit. But because his father does not spare the rod, that turns into rachmin. Ultimately, the son, when he gets of age and begins to realize what is life, will then see that his father has performed not midas hadin, but he's performed midas rachmin. It's interesting that this is a pasuk in Torah HaKadosha. You say it every day in the davening, in Shiras Hayom. Hashem ish milchoma. The word there is not Elikim ish milchoma, but Havaya ish milchoma. And we all know that Havaya refers to Midas Arachmin. Elikim refers to Midas Adin. So how is it possible? Milchoma? That's the worst Midas Adin that we can possibly imagine. War and strife? And here you call it Havaya. You call it Midas Arachmin. Because ultimately, what is the purpose of all tzoreh? The purpose of all tzoreh is rachmi Hashem al b'riyeshav. Because he has rachmi, he feels it's necessary to chastise. And sometimes the chastisement has to be even to an extent of war, of rachmona l'tzana churm, of a 6 million, and who knows what the chastisement has to be. But it all emanates from the ultimate in rachmi, which does not wish to deny humankind the beauty and the pleasure of an Olam Habo, of Olam HaNeshomes. And so, regardless of how deep the crime and how great the crime, the punishment is here in the world of Olam HaZeh. This is what the Chinuch seeks to impress upon us. Therefore,
the pasuk refers to assembling in Ish Milchoma on Vayikra.
Ish Milchoma in everything.
Then he's Ish Milchoma on the Goyim?
Everything.
That's Rachmanis to them too?
No, it's Rachmanis for Klal Yisroel. All tzoras in the world are Rachmanis and Klal Yisroel. Because, as we will learn in time, Ein Puronius Bo'ol Oilom Bela Bishvil Yisroel. All Puronius, all tzoras in the history of mankind all concentrate around Klal Yisroel. And as the Chofetz Chaim in his day said, there's no question in my mind that the Japanese-Russo war is because of Klal Yisroel. But I don't know why, but then ultimately we will understand this. There's no question in my mind. That's what Chazal tell us. Because if we are the Amanitcho, if we are that which for which all of humankind exists, so all that takes place in humankind concentrates around Klal Yisroel. Today I think we're gradually growing nearer to that point where we're beginning to see that all that takes place in the southern, in South America, in North America, in all continents of the world, all is beginning to concentrate around the Middle East. Epsarum Eretz Yisroel. All as the Nevi'im said. There were days when we didn't understand that. I remember when I was a kid learning Nach, so I asked the Rebbe once, yeah, this is good in the days of the Novi, when they didn't have a North American, a South American, Australia, they didn't know these things. But how is it possible that today everything is going to be in Boras and in Moda and in Yovon? How is that possible? So what about the United States? What about Canada? Now we see that everything is going back to that central focal point from which all originally developed. Umbezer Hashem Yisbola, and the point's not far off from Mr. Zegel's and to the Yeshua. V'ulom yesh laham sheyagi azman. We should believe, though, that there will come a time, sheniske lishnei amonis. We will have a double portion. There will be a time we will have a double portion. Hein yemei ha-Mashiach, and yitzhe Mashiach et kumam will have yene velt und die velt. Batam, why then, yes? Because by yomim alhein, lefishereni yetzrichim letzirof ha-gufim klau, then we won't need to purify the goof, because there will be no impurities then. Ki yibotel nemenu yetzer hara, there'll be no place for sin. As the Torah tells us, this heart of stone, which is made stone by the Yetzer. The heart is not stone. What turns it into stone? What mummifies a Jew? What mummifies mankind? The Yetzer. But there won't be any Yetzer. Mashiach will come, we'll all be interested in Hashem Yisborach. So then the goof itself, the fleshene kapote, will be sanctity itself, so we will deserve a double portion. V'yin gam be'isahi ma'at sikhet yishoer yipol achiyev al'isah soer kasher b'tchile. And if there will be some little bit of chet in those days, gitterun zanechome, so we'll still be mekayim teirem, there'll be a soer ha'mishtaleich on yimak ikurim et menes haruf le'in zoktav soer ha'mishtaleich uzoler es fatrog yibit bararai. But we'll have a wonderful world in which to live. This is what Torah means. If you will walk in my paths and according to my regulations, I will give you not Olam Habo, I will give you Olam Hazeh. Olam Habo is not mentioned in Torah. Not in Krishma, not in Bechu Koisai, not in the Sabroche, nor in Olam Hazeh. But Chosweizer for them that we're a bunch of kofir. There is no such thing as Olam Habo. Torah never mentions such a thing. So his approach is that to talk about Olam Habo is unnecessary. That we know. The Olam HaNeshomis has an Olam Habo. The good thing about everything is that you'll even enjoy an Olam Hazeh if there won't be Chet, if there won't be Yetzer Hore. So you'll have an Olam Hazeh where you won't be disturbed. And you'll be able to earn greater portions of Olam Habo, because everything that we do contrary to the will of Hashem Yisborach, which causes us suffering and causes us pain, makes it more difficult to observe the will of Hashem Yisborach. So where do we ultimately lose out? We lose out for the Olam HaNeshomes. So Hashem Yisborach will give us an Olam Hazeh. If we observe properly, we will have an Olam Hazeh that will be free from suffering, so that man can then devote himself totally to living in accordance with the will of Hashem Yisborach, and thereby to enjoy a double portion, an Olam Hazeh and an Olam Habo. This is the chinuch's introduction to the necessity of discussing each mitzvah and trying to find an approach to it, to get some taste of it, to want to enjoy the mitzvah, want to perform the mitzvah, because I feel that it adds something to life. It makes life more enjoyable, more worthwhile. This is the sum total of the Hakdoma of the Chinuch, and as we said, there is contained in here Kamo v'chamo many yisedes hadas v'emune, the fundamentals of Jewish faith, and it's worthwhile going through this not once and not twice in order to feel the beauty of the words of the Chinuch, who speaks in terms of actually living through all these things. It isn't just abstract philosophy. Das Rete Ayid, was hat gespielt und gefühlt, ot a zeh heis idish lebt. And when you go through this Hakdome, then we are prepared to approach each mitzvah individually and to see what the Chinuch has to tell us is contained within each mitzvah individually from his viewpoint. The Rambam said a different thing, and the Rav Zadok Gaon said a different thing, and the Yehuda Halevi and the Ibn Ezra. But for us it will be sufficient to gain this approach of the Chinuch himself to what a mitzvah contains within it, to make it palatable to us in order to be able to enjoy Kiyum HaMitzvah, the observance of Mitzvah.